Good morning, everyone. Good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are, and welcome to the Weekly Energy Boost. My name is Elie Sheva, and I am so lucky to finally be back with David this morning.
Oh, I missed it.
He's left me alone with two amazing guests that we had over these past couple weeks, but now David is back, and I am looking forward to hearing his part, hearing what he has to share about our monthly theme of creating prosperity. This week, we are focusing specifically on how cultivating our habits in how we spend our time and our energy can either fill our bank account or drain our bank account. The Weekly Energy Boost is your 7-day spiritual weather forecast. And every week, David and I, or sometimes a guest and I, prepare what we think is the most powerful and most practical tools to help our listeners navigate not only the coming week, but with whatever wisdom and tools we share, we can use those throughout our lives 365 days a year. And we've been dedicating this month. Last week, we started the month of Sagittarius on the Kabbalistic calendar, which is a super high energy month. Sagittarians, let us know. Yeah, I'm sure you're out there listening. Sagittarians are known for their high energy, their sort of throwing caution to the wind, and you know, they love risk taking. They're always looking for the next great challenge. And for the other 1/11th of us, of the population, we want to borrow from that ability to think big and take big leaps, but we also want to make sure that we're aware of those shortcomings. And one of the things that Sagittarians can be challenged by is consistency, persistency, structure, discipline. And so what we're going to talk about today is really how to incorporate those kind of structures and consistencies so as to create a foundation for living a more abundant and prosperous life. We tend to think of money as the only currency. We spoke about this last week. And Batya Solomon, who is a prosperity coach, she has her Tuesday class, Prosperity Principles, on Kabbalah.com. She shared an example of a student, and I'm going to share it with you in case you forgot, because I'm sure you listened to the show like 18 times last week.
It's all I listened to.
I know, it's on repeat. So Batya was talking about this person that she met with, who was, I think it was an insurance salesman, and he asked for her help, and she was saying, well, tell me about your day. And he was saying, well, I get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I eat a breakfast, and then I do the crossword puzzle, and then, you know, like his behavior. And she had asked him, I think, you know, what's your goal? And he said he wanted to make $1 million a year. Mm-hmm. But his behavior wasn't congruent with his goal.
Desires, yeah.
So I think it's really, I think that she also said something that I know provoked a lot of people. She said that there's no such thing as the law of attraction. Oh, yeah. We got a lot of comments about that, but she's good at that stuff. And the whole idea that we want, the way that I translate it is you have to dress for the job you want. That's not only about what you wear, that's your behavior, your thinking, your words. That is one of the most powerful. We think we talk a lot about prayer in our shows, and we talk about there's structured prayer and there's also unstructured prayer. Yeah. One of the most powerful forms of unstructured prayer is our behavior. Mm. That's so much more powerful. You can beg and plead to the Creator, to God, to Spirit, whatever you believe in, to help you, to support you, to provide. But it's really our behaviors, our actions, that really determine it all. And we forget that time and energy are just as powerful currencies as cash, as money. I guess cash is less powerful, right, these days. But money in general, we tend to think of as very powerful. So how's that for a backdrop?
When I was thinking about this topic and the best way to present it to our audience, I was thinking about what we learn in Kabbalah that is the purpose of all of our lives. We want to feel fulfilled. I'm sorry, that's the goal. Goal is to feel fulfilled. And when your goal is not to be fulfilled, but your goal is to accumulate, your goal is to get specific things in life, well, you might accumulate, you might get those things, but you don't feel fulfillment. So what's the point? And part of what the negative side in this world, because we all have a negative side that is comparable exactly to where we are, just exactly there to challenge us on our level, part of the negative side's job is just to make sure you're not happy, not fulfilled. The negative side loves the roller coaster of emotions. The negative side loves when you are happy one moment and then fearful another moment. The negative side loves inconsistency. So, because ultimately, when something is inconsistent and unstable, there's no peace of mind, and therefore, there's no fulfillment. So what Kabbalah is here to give us, and some of the tools that we'll talk about today, is to have, to achieve that fulfillment and to achieve that peace of mind. All right, so what does that have to do with energy and time? Well, in order to achieve fulfillment and have peace of mind, we have to become, what's the best way to put it, channels of the light of the Creator. So it means that we're not, the goal isn't to take and grab as much as possible, but to be a channel of energy, that the right amount of energy is always flowing through me, kind of like a river, and not the idea of a swamp. The swamp, we always give this example, the swamp takes and collects with the assumption that it's gonna have a better existence by taking and consuming, but then it becomes a swamp. When I become a channel of everything, channel of time, channel of energy, channel of thoughts, channel of the right words, channel of every gift that's been given to me, every power that I have, I'm a channel of it, then you will achieve peace of mind and fulfillment. And we'll give some tools about how to achieve that, but that's kind of the foundation that I wanted to start with.
I like the visual of a pipe, right? If the faucet is on, the pipes are always full, but not ever. Imagine if a pipe decides, you know, I'm afraid I'm not going to have water later, I'm going to hold on to this. Right. It blocks up the whole system. So the idea that if I'm able to be a channel, I'm constantly full, yet never attached, never stuck holding on to something that the truth is even being given to me by the universe so that I can be a channel for it.
Exactly. And what blocks the pipe? And I want everybody to think about in their own lives, if this is applicable to you, what blocks the pipe? As soon as I start thinking about what I will have or not have, and there's fear, that is the moment that I stop being a channel. And then all the problems start after that. So a negative thought comes. So let's give an example about thoughts. A negative thought comes about your future. Something's going to happen. Something's not going to happen.
You don't even know the future. You can't even predict it. It's so unpredictable. You don't even know what to be afraid of.
You don't know. And when you don't know and you can't control something, you become afraid. Now, at that exact moment that you have fear, the light of the Creator can't flow through you anymore. Okay. Why is that a problem? Because the very thing... You want to create a good future. You want to create a future where these things you're scared of don't happen. Well, the only way that's going to happen is if you're a channel of light. But if you're blocking the light because of your fear, then you're almost guaranteeing that the future is some form of darkness. You understand the catch-22 here? So let's understand what we just said. As soon as you have fear and you don't do anything about that fear, or that negative thought, that worry, that anxiety, the light of the Creator cannot flow through you because what you're thinking about yourself, your desire to receive for the self alone. And we know there's no affinity of form there. We had these in all of our classes, Kabbalah 1, 2, and 3. It's really big. No affinity of form. The light of the Creator can't come through, can't bring you the right answers, can't bring you the right solutions, can't bring you the right doctors, can't bring you the right lawyers, can't bring you the right teachers, can't bring you the right messages, so on and so forth. The Kabbalists say, okay, you have a negative thought. At this very moment, turn on the light. Do something to transform the thought. One solution could be think of a positive thought, because we know that you can't have two thoughts at the same time. Something the Kabbalists say. You can't have a negative thought and a positive thought at the exact same time. Now, they might fight for position in your brain, right? Here's a negative thought, then the positive, you slip in the positive thought, and then the negative thought pushes out the positive thought, and there's a fight. That's fine. But they can't coexist. So maybe one tool could be, I'm just going to think about something positive. Very simple. And at that moment you think of something positive, you become a channel. But some people will go the whole day thinking a negative thought and being consumed by it. So that's an example of just when a thought comes or fear comes and we allow it to consume us, and when we disconnect from the light and then the light cannot show us how to solve our problems and to move forward.
To me, that's very much about energy, right? Mm-hmm. I can't control my thoughts, but I do get to control how much energy I give to those thoughts, right?
Right, because energy, what is the energy we put out in the world? It's basically our thoughts, words, and actions. So if you want to know what kind of energy you have, what kind of aura you have, what energy you're putting out or taking, it's all a compilation of your thoughts, your words, and your actions. So if we audited those three things, you know, where does this fall? Do we fall into the negative energy, the wasting of energy? Or does this go into the column of being a channel of energy and having likeness of form with the light of the Creator?
The visual, and I know that I'm constantly giving these sort of childlike imagery to help everybody hold on to these ideas, but it's almost as though you wake up every day with a watering can full of water, and you have all these plants in your life. You have your family, you have your health, your spirituality, your relationships, your career, and every day you have that can does get filled up, mm-hmm. but you get to decide what you water. Mm-hmm. And the tendency, right, I know we work with a lot of people in one-on-one, David and I, and a lot of people are just in the habit of grabbing their phone, you know, checking email, looking at their schedule, seeing what the day holds, which usually leads to a feeling of dread or anxiety or, you know, the compulsion to get back into bed. Right. Mm-hmm. We talk almost on every episode, I feel like, the importance of setting the right intention in the morning. But I bring it up again only because that what ends up happening, I can, of course, speak for myself as well, is sometimes you get that text or you get an email and it literally pokes a hole in that watering can.
It does.
And starts to drain the amount of energy that you have with which to water the rest of the plants in your life. So at the end of the day, you're sitting there thinking, I just don't have the strength for my family right now. Or I know I said I would put together that proposal, but we have all these excuses and we wonder why, you know, we didn't hike Mount Everest today. We didn't, you know, go to court and argue, you know, for a life sentence or anything like that. We just are drained by the end of the day. And so I think that what David brought up is really crucial for us to realize, you know, your energy is really the only thing that belongs to you. Right. In Kabbalah, we talk a lot about how the gifts that we're given come from the Creator. We can talk about that probably next week and the week after and the week after that as well. But the idea that I'm really the only one that gets to decide what I do with my energy. Even if you ever find yourself around an energy vampire, we'll talk. I think we have an episode in December talking about toxic relationships and things mm-hmm. like that. You are the one who removes the cover that lets that person suck your energy. And so we need part of the idea of holding on to our reserves, not only because we want more prosperity, but in general, we want to be healthy, we want to be happy, we want to be at peace, is to be really conscious of what we spend our energy on.
To be a channel, it's synonymous with being a giver. Now, let's understand what that means. I want to be a giver on the level of my thoughts, my words, and my actions. So a practical thing can be, I don't know, maybe there was a time where I'm so preoccupied with something that's going on and it's bothering me and all day long I'm just having thoughts about it and I'm consumed and it's eating me up inside, causing anxiety, confusion, stress, whatever. Something very simple can be on the level of thoughts that you close your eyes and you start to think of certain people in your lives and you send them energy and you meditate on them. And you pray for them in any way you want, in any language you want. You send them energy. At this moment, you're now a giver on the level of thoughts. And that's important because what it does is it cleans your pipe inside you. And as soon as you give that energy to your friend, the Creator then puts a new thought, a new energy. Remember the river? Puts a new energy inside you that is your next level, that is more divine, that will give you solutions. But if you're thinking all day long about how to solve your problem, again, you're thinking about yourself, this new energy cannot come. Same with words. I know that Karen taught all of us, and Elisheva will attest to this, that when we talk to our students, or even right now when we're talking on the show, it's how do we talk to our students, like when we give a class, or what should we say? If you're thinking too much about yourself in the class or on the show or with the person, so you're not a river and the Creator cannot give you the right words to say. So it's very important that when you're going to talk to your spouse or relationship or your children, that you just take a moment to pause and you ask that the words be of giving words and not reactive words, not selfish words. Have we ever had a class about evil speech yet?
So, 19 times in the last 3 years.
Like one dedicated to just evil speech?
Yes.
Like all the
one, the title of the episode is Evil Speech.
Right. I would hear it again because you probably realize 99%. People think evil speech is just speaking bad about somebody. But evil speech could be you're flattering somebody to get them to like you. That's also considered evil speech. Or just complaining. That's evil. So evil speech just means your words are not giving words. And then your actions could also be, for me, it could be, I know that my parents love to see the kids on FaceTime. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I got to pull out the stick. You know, the stick, got to stick my iPhone there, got to FaceTime. And I don't want to deal with it. Sometimes you just don't want to deal with that, right? And then I'm like, wait a minute, that's an action. It's a simple giving action, and I'm going to do it. And I just know it makes somebody else happy. So these three things, giving, and there's so many levels of giving, and obviously, you know, endless classes about it. But whenever you're in a rut and you're in a jam and you want to be a channel, you got to give on the thoughts, the words, and the actions. And that's how the energy flows through. That's how you become a master of energy.
I love what you said so much, because all three examples that David used are appropriate to the, you know, some of us are in lockdown, right? We're not able to, for me at least, I remember when I started to learn about these concepts, for me, giving was like baking cookies for people. Mm-hmm. And you can't give in the way that maybe you could last year. I'm sure the holidays are going to look different for a lot of people because of that lack of ability to gather or to travel or to connect physically in that sense. But those examples, I think a lot of people downgraded their giving because they can't give in the same way that they used to.
Can't give in the same way. So they didn't look for a new channel, a new way to do it.
Right. So this is, David's examples are perfect because they're all related to I don't need to be physically in the room with you in order to be a giver. I can think about you. I can call you, send you a text, pray for you, FaceTime you. There's so many different ways to connect. And yes, you can also send a gift, but part of the I would even ask, when you're sending a gift, are you sending a gift and you want to know that the person liked it, that the person's going to get you a gift for your birthday now, or that there's some sort of attachment to the outcome in my having given a gift? In that moment that you're looking at what's the result, you're also becoming a swamp. You're holding on to that piece of energy for yourself and not really allowing the flow to continue.
With your permission, I would like to introduce a deeper Kabbalistic concept that will support what we just talked about.
You may. Enjoy.
Thank you for your permission.
Everyone enjoy.
So, okay, levels of giving. The Kabbalists are very, very clear about what I'm about to share. And we don't talk about it much in the Kabbalah Center because it's somewhat of an advanced concept. But I feel our audience appreciates it. And, you know, please feel free to answer questions if what I'm about to share does not make sense. When a person just gives, the Kabbalists say, this is called
for the wrong reasons.
No, it's not wrong reason. Let's say it's a secondary reason. Okay, I'm going to call it a secondary reason.
Not superficial?
No. In general, the way we are born, when we give, and anytime, give to our children, give to friends, give to society, you have a company, you sell products, you give. This giving is always a secondary level.
There's an MO.
Because we are desires to receive, we always will feel like I need something in return from the person or I gave to. So it can be your children, right? Very, very easy one, no doubt there. And it's a product. I sell a product. Of course, I demand payment for it. So there's always a need to receive, which then diminishes the power of the giving. It doesn't disqualify it, but it diminishes it. So the Kabbalists say, well, how can the giving be the highest level? You're still doing the action, right? You're doing the action. You might as well get your biggest bang for your buck.
No pun intended.
Exactly. What is the highest level of the giving? The Kabbalists talk about it. It's called for its sake. It's the primary reason. It's the highest level, and it takes time to train yourself to do this. The way to give is to say, I give Elisheva a gift for her birthday, or just because I think she's a great person, or just because I want to give. And I meditate at that moment that I do it so that I become a channel of light and get closer to the light of the Creator. So what do I want in return for my gift? I have to be conscious of it. I desire that this physical gift I gave to Elisheva, in return, I get from the Creator. Now, maybe the Creator will tell Elisheva to say thank you. Maybe the Creator will have Elisheva get me a gift. That's fine. But in my mind, I know it's coming from the Creator and not from Elisheva. Now, why is this important? Because who you serve will ultimately be who controls your life. So if I'm serving...
Whoa, say that again, because that is huge.
So who you serve, who you think you're serving, who you think you're working for, is ultimately who controls your life.
So that means if everything you do for you, you do for your family.
That means your family, what happens is the Creator basically goes to your family and says, okay, I'm not involved anymore. I have infinite things I want to give David, but David has established that you are his new God. This, you know, he wants energy from you. He wants approval from you. He wants a thank you from you. So I'm letting you take care of all of David's sustenance.
And we do that, by the way, with our jobs. We do that with our, you know, whoever raised us and their expectations. We do what they expect, and then they in turn become our God.
Exactly. And this is the beauty of free will, because the Creator basically said, if you want me to be involved, you just involve me. And if you don't want me to be involved, I will not coerce and I will take a step back.
And that's important also, because people do make a lot of effort and then are upset that their efforts don't yield the results they expect.
Correct. And it all comes down to who you make your God, who are you serving? So this great example is, you know, you're sitting in your house and you're not doing anything. And all of a sudden, you know, a bunch of people walk in and let's say I'm a teacher. And I have to look spiritual. So all of a sudden, a bunch of people walk in.
This doesn't sound like a theoretical example anymore.
And all of a sudden, I take out a book and I start studying. So why am I studying? I'm studying about the light, in fact, right? I'm studying because I want these people who just walked in to think I'm an astute spiritual person. So I that's why, in my mind, that's why I'm picking up the book. So at that moment, the Creator says, okay, I will no longer teach you wisdom. I will no longer sustain your house, your family, your sustenance endlessly. These people who just walked in, who now you are appearing spiritual for, they now will be responsible for everything. So imagine the downgrade you just got, right? You went from the Creator of this world supporting you endlessly to these random people now being in charge of your life. And this is called not for its sake, the secondary reason. But if I say, oh, these people came in, you know what? I don't care if I look spiritual. I don't look spiritual.
Not in a negative way.
Not in a negative way.
You're saying that the fact that they walked into the room does not change me.
Right. It does not. Maybe I should be studying anyways, but I'm going to study because it's what I need to do to get myself closer to the Creator. It has nothing to do with you being in the room or not. And it's always where your mind is at. It's always where your mind is at. So we're going to have a lot of gift giving in the next couple of weeks. A lot of giving is going to be done. But if you're giving... If you're giving without any consciousness, know that the default is that you're looking to receive something from them. If you're giving with, I give now so that I can be closer to the Creator and the Creator can be a greater channel in my life, you have now accessed the endless light that will be a part of your life. So this is kind of what I wanted to share. And I give this example all the time. This is a class we teach in Kabbalah 1, I think, like sometimes class 7, it changes. And I give this example and everyone's like, yes, you know what? From now on, I'm going to give and only want that the Creator gives me, not taking from the other person. Everyone's so excited about it. And then I say, all right, let's do a workshop. So turn to the person next to you, find one thing you compliment them on. you know, their eyes, the way they dress, the way they talk. And then everyone's excited to do it because they want to, you know, swap compliments. And then I say, well, after this workshop, I say, all right, now how many of you, before you gave the compliment, paused and said, Creator, I'm about to give a compliment, but I don't, what I want in return is just that this giving brings me closer to you. And nobody raises their hand. I mean, this is literally 2 minutes after I just gave the lesson and everyone's excited to do it. Because we are programmed to give in order to receive from the people. Hence, idol worshiping, hence disconnecting ourselves from the source of all energy.
So if I understood right, David, you are saying that before we get up in the morning and make the kids breakfast, before we show up at work in the morning, before we show up at whatever holiday, if we're lucky enough to celebrate with others this year, our mindset, our thought should be what?
Oh my gosh, you just went to another amazing concept, which is the same. But when
I'm saying, yeah, you just asked them, none of them said had the right mindset before they were giving. Let's give everybody one sentence.
And this now has to be your new way of living life. You wake up in the morning and you say, all right, Creator, I'm about to go on by my day. And I'm going to work, I'm going to engage in all these relationships, I'm going to go manifest and accumulate. I don't want to do any of this for someone else, making someone else my controller, my savior, my God. I have to go. I want to just be close to the Creator. That's what King David said. King David said, I just want to live in the house of the Creator. He was very conscious every moment. And he was the king. He was the king. Like, imagine the respect and the... Everybody wants to serve him and give him. And he said, I don't want that these people will be the source of my energy. And he was very conscious of it every moment. He said, Creator, everything I do is only because I want to get closer to the Creator. And when you establish that first thing in the morning, then yes, go about your day. Do everything you were going to do. But you're going to feel so much more freedom because you're not going to be attached to the neediness of this person said this and did it in that way and it looked at me funny and wrote this email and this slighted me and like all the garbage that comes. And this is a lifetime of work. This is something that you have to really want it. You have to really want it to achieve it. It's not just like, oh, that's a nice concept and let's move on to the next class.
Well, that's a nice concept. Let's move on to the next class.
Exactly. That's what you're about to say.
Well, the truth is you brought up something really important that I think will help all of us be better at conserving both our time and energy is allowing the light force of the Creator to take care of things. Sometimes when we have that attachment, that, you know, I don't know, the addiction to work, when work is my Creator, when my family is my Creator, we have the tendency to need to take care of everything, to control everything, to know every detail, to micromanage every person, to read every email. And one of the things that I can tell you, I'm more of that kind of person, that I had to be, you know, I had to know everything A to Z. Something I worked very hard on is letting the light take care of things. You know, you get an email and you want to jump in and defend and justify and correct. And you know what? Let the email sit in your inbox unanswered for a couple hours while you do what you were doing in the first place. And magically, not unless you give it that, right? You have to say, okay, you know what, light, you answer this email. You know, light, not that light, you pay this bill, right, but that you at least create space for the effort that you make. Because one of the things that happens when you're on the spiritual path and you follow the laws of the universe that we talk about in the show, but that we get into real detail with in Kabbalah 1, 2, and 3, is that you may not see the result of your effort in the moment. But when you have that email where you want to, you know, rip the other person's head off and put them in their place and perhaps even humiliate them, but you let the light take care of it, what ends up happening is after that meeting or 2 hours later, you get an email from that person or someone else on the chain that says, you know what, we were totally wrong. There's a miscalculation. Ignore this email and we'll get back to you. Instead of you furiously with veins bulging, typing up that email, being annoyed about it all the time, you know, literally poking all kinds of holes in that watering can, you let the light take care of it. So, and that, by the way, think about the time technically in the material physical world, the time you saved not answering the email, not fuming and mulling over how dare they, who are they, that you just flowed.
This is the secret of saving time. When you first consult with the Creator and do things by virtue of permission from the Creator, you will save so much time. If you're doing things to just get, because it's a game between you and other people, and the manipulation between you and other people, you will be exhausted. You will be doing backflips to try to make something happen that the Creator could have made happen in 1/10 of the time. And I'm trying to think of practical examples because people kind of say, oh yeah, I'm going through that. I remember the first time I had to like deal with a bank and get like a loan. And it was a house. Like, you know, you're excited to try to get a home. And I remember all the documents, endless documents that the bank wanted. And I remember having to send them in thinking, oh, you know, I really hope they like these documents. I really hope they give the loan. And then I realized this is like the story of Joseph in prison. He was in prison for 10 years and he wanted to get out. Obviously, he wants to be in prison. And he trusted in the Creator. The Creator would save him. And then at some point, he forgot for just one moment. He forgot about the Creator. And he thought that these other people who were in the prison, and they were leaving. He said, you know, maybe you can put in a good word for me with the king, with Pharaoh, and then I'll get out. What was wrong with what he did? At that exact moment, he took power away from the Creator and he gave it to these people.
I love that example.
And it's such a great, it says that the words he used, what was it, like two sentences or two words, it caused him to be delayed 2 more years. Don't forget me. That's what it was. Don't forget me. So he basically forgot about the Creator. He used the people. And as a result, he got 2 more years. So in the story of the bank, the right consciousness is, Creator, I know you are the source of the mortgage, of the loan, or whatever it is you're looking
for. The house. If I'm going to get the house, it's because the Creator gave it to me, not because the bank or the real estate agent or the previous owners gave it to me.
Right. And so, but I know I got to go through these motions of sending in the documents and the paperwork. So I got to still do the motions. I can't say, Creator, if you want me to have the house, I'll have it.
Fill out the forms.
So, yeah, you fill out the forms, Creator. You know, but here's what's beautiful. And this is what free will is. You have the choice of saying, Creator, you're in control. Or if you say, no, I don't want the Creator to be in control, which sometimes people don't want the Creator to be in control because it's scary, they say, I want the bank to be in control and based on the merits of my finances. And that's fine. That's another reality. You get to choose. There's not one reality that you're forced to live by. You get to choose which reality you want to be a part of. The only problem is the non-creator reality takes more time, takes more energy, is a roller coaster, and it's got a lot more scary things happening. But in the end, you will get to the same place. So if that house is meant to be mine, it will be mine. It's just that if I put it in the Creator's hands, it's going to happen in a beautiful, fulfilling, certain way. And if I put it in the bank's hands, this is going to be chaos.
I think one other powerful example of how we waste time and energy is when it comes to our kids. Mm-hmm. That a lot of the work, we put a lot of work into being perceived as a good parent, mm-hmm. Looking at our child's accomplishments as our own accomplishments, and a lot of stress and worry and manipulation around that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can be something as minute as the child's homework isn't done or isn't done right, and we step in and manipulate it so that it looks good and you look like the good parent, the smart parent, the doting parent.
Right.
But there's also, you know, that we even make fun of it in TV shows and movies, you know, like there's the one mom who shows up like in her pajamas with her hair all messed up with the Starbucks, you know, like the time and energy. And by the way, you could apply it to anything. I just picked the kids one because I think even as the children grow up into adults, mm-hmm. we worry, meaning we spend time and energy focused on, do they make me look good?
Yeah.
How are they reflecting on me out there in the world? And it, like I said, it could be on other things as well. You could be worrying about how your house looks or how your car looks or, you know, how you appear in staff meetings. Do you sound smart? Are you quiet so that you don't sound stupid? All of that external manipulation is like, you know, our teacher would say, time is an illusion, right? The physical stuff is an illusion. The only thing I can really control is myself. So when you're triggered, you know, and some other parent or other child makes you feel less than inadequate, uneducated, improper, you know, there's so many words we could fill that blank with. Instead of trying, well, no, you don't, that's not what happened, or, you know, I'm going to show them next time, or whatever the natural, our ego jumps in to redefine or repaint that picture. Instead, control your own reaction. And again, what you'll see is that the person comes back and says, I'm so sorry I said that, I wasn't thinking. Or they come back and they say, you know, I'm such a terrible whatever, I admire you. So, not that they need to be self-deprecating, but the point is, in that moment, you're in control, not when you're controlling the situation, because that's actually a waste of time. When you are controlling your reaction and how the situation affects you, that is an investment, because in the long run, another situation will come that will do the exact, push the exact same button, and you will no longer have that same reaction and need to control or manipulate or redefine what everybody's perceiving or experiencing.
So we've shared several things. Number one, we shared about being a giver, and the level of thoughts, words, and actions helps you become a channel of energy. And when you're a channel of energy, you're not wasting energy. When you waste energy, you not only lose that energy, but that energy goes to the negative side and the negative forces get stronger. A whole nother topic, but it's a double whammy. You lose and the other side gains, and it becomes harder in the future to grow in the way you want to grow. Then we said, okay, well, the giving has two levels of consciousness. You can give and then give the power to the other person to control your life. And that is by default what everybody does. Or you can elevate your giving by saying, this very thing I give, this compliment I give, this time I give, this energy I give, this love I give because I am conditioning myself to be like the Creator. I want to be close to the Creator. I want the Creator to be in charge of my life. I want the Creator to give to me. It's a triangle. I give to the person, the Creator gives to me. That's the highest level of consciousness that we can apply to every single, it's the salad you need to eat before the main course, okay? Because it's like the salad helps create the enzymes that will break down.
This is always going to go to a conversation about nutrition on
The salads give you the enzymes to break down the heavier food. If you don't have a salad, you know, the heavier food's going to have a hard time digesting. So what's your salad here? Your salad is Creator, this very thing that I want to give. I want you to be involved. And it's like eating a salad. It's like eating your little enzymes. You know, why not? Less bloating, less problems.
Today's show, sponsored by the United Salad Commission.
Every time you eat a salad, now you're going to remember that. So the final thing I want to say, which I pretty much say in
every episode,
is sometimes it gets so overwhelming and it's so hard to be a channel and it's so hard to be a giver. You just don't want to do it. And there's so many negative forces that are just yapping in your ear, confusing you, draining you. It's very hard. And it happens to me. I'm sure it happens to you, Elisheva, though I find that hard to be true. But it happens. And what I do, and it works every time, it's prescription of the Kabbalist, is isolating myself and talking unstructured prayer, asking the Creator to give me whatever it is I need. Give me inspiration. Give me certainty. Help me be a giver. I don't know how to be a giver. Please help me. I have no energy to be a giver right now, but I know I need to be. I don't want to go through the whole day a taker. I don't want to go through the whole day having bad consciousness. Just ask. If you ask over and over and over again, you have now invited again. You've switched movies, and now you've again made the Creator the source of your energy. And what that does is it draws. When the Creator gives you energy, it's actually what you're doing is you're drawing higher parts of your soul into your body. And maybe I'll talk about that another time. So those are the three topics that I wanted to cover for today's show.
Thank you so much. Mm. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up one of the, in my opinion, simplest and easily accessible and universal tools for saving time. And that is the Kabbalistic calendar. One of the things that really attracted me as a fledgling student when I started studying was when you follow the energy of the weeks and the months, even sometimes the days, you really do have a detailed plan on how to spend your energy and your time. There are certain times of the year, like right now, this month that we're in, the month of Sagittarius, is super high energy, which means get out there, plant as many seeds as you can, be active, you know, dare greatly, do things. If you've been thinking about making changes, taking steps, this is one of those months that there are almost really no boundaries, nowhere you can't go. But then we have the month that follows, which we'll talk about when it comes, is one of those months where the Kabbalists say, you know what? Step on the brakes. Let all of those seeds that you planted grow. Let them take root. Let them sprout. Continue to water them, but don't take on any new ventures. And then the following month, actually the following 2 months, you have more green light in the universe, more ability, more support to do and to create and to push. And then and it ends up balancing out to about 50-50 when you gather all the days and the weeks and the months together. And I have students that'll text me, you know, Elisheva, I need to do X, Y, and Z. What's the next best day to do that? Or, you know, I need to do this. When's a good time? And I'll tell some people, I'll say, you know what, you need to wait another 2 weeks. Can you do that? And what trial and error shows is that even though it feels like waiting those 2 weeks is a waste of time, inevitably, I'm saying it through trial and error because, of course, you don't want to listen initially because I don't have patience. I want the fruit now. I don't want to wait for the whole ripening process. It's hard, but that pause actually strengthens and fortifies the seed that you're planting. So one of the great things to do, you know, if you're a member on Kabbalah.com, of course, we have a lot of lectures. We always start the month with what to do this month. And Michael Berg was saying this, you know, it was a week ago, I think tonight, the lectures should still be available there. It was really all about like, go, go, go. Don't get less sleep this month. That's how impactful it can be. And then preview to next month, slow down, because that's the time that the viable seeds will take root and begin to grow. And that knowing, again, even though it seems hard to pause when the universe, when the cosmos wants us to pause, that conservation of energy then provides us with the strength to go all guns blazing when the time is right. And what I'm telling you, not only from my experience, but from all the students that I've worked with over the years, it's so powerful to be able to map and strategize based upon the universe's calendar and That's not right. on the stock market or the real estate market or any other variable that's so unpredictable.
That's right. That's
right. So that's to me one of the biggest ones. You sound like you want to say something.
No, you go keep going.
No, I mean that was my basically my biggest thing. And the other, I guess, the last thing that I did want to share is that, the truth is I shouldn't have saved it for last because I bet David's going to want to say something about it. But the other thing that the Kabbalists teach us about success and failure in terms of energy and time is don't dwell. Dwelling is a recipe for disaster, even when the dwelling is on the success.
That's right.
So anytime something happens, and by the way, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be happy, we shouldn't be proud, we shouldn't celebrate, but you know, and if you're listening, you know that there have been moments in your life where you've gotten something or you've achieved something and you just love it. And you talk about it with everybody and you celebrate it and you post picture after picture after picture about it. And you should, maybe you should be proud. Maybe mm-hmm. it is a huge accomplishment, but by relishing and dwelling and holding on to it, again, you're slowly going back to the visual of the swamp. You're slowly holding on to something that already happened and not allowing for even better, greater, newer energy to flow down. The same is with the negative stuff. Something doesn't go your way. Something miserable happens. And again, you may have all the reason in the world to harp on it, to vent about it, to make it your new life story. But the Kabbalists, I'll give you three words, and they apply it to either situation. Ready? Take out a pen and paper. Three words, whether you are succeeding or you feel you are failing, the three words are wow, great, next. Wow, I sold the house. Great, next. What does the universe have next for me? Or wow, the loan fell through. Great, next. Either way, it's very counterintuitive and it's very unnatural when you think about human nature. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what you're, that's really the the switch that flips the vacuum, right? When you're dwelling, you're like a vacuum. You're taking energy from everyone and anything outside of you. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not going to serve you. It's going to become moldy and mossy and stinky at some point, and you're letting it flow. Wow, you did do it. Great. It was wonderful. What's next? Or wow, disaster. Great. I created it. Next. How can I fix it? Beautiful. And I think that if all of us can be that river, you know, letting the water go, regardless of whether we're loving it or less than, we will see a huge energetic shift, not only for ourselves, but I think the world, because especially in this time where there's so much uncertainty and unpredictability, what's the option?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that Kabbalists loved the uncertainty. Uncertainty means that now the Creator has created a space for me to participate in creation. And when everything makes sense to me and is within my reason and within my logic, I'm not a participant anymore. I'm reactive. I'm a reactive participant. I'm not a co-creator. As soon as there's uncertainty, imbalance, and instability, which is very hard, I mean, gosh, who wants that? But as soon as there is, just remember, this is the space now the Creator has given you to be a co-creator. You got to fill that space with the giving energy and the right consciousness and the right words. The other side, the opponent, wants you to fill that space with the garbage, with the fears, with the lack. And that's your only free will. Your only free will is what you do when you're uncertain, when you're in pain, when you're confused. It's the only free will. And it can happen once a day. It can happen once a month for some people. And the Kabbalists say if you go 40 days without having a challenge, it's a really bad sign. It's really bad. It means that it's like I don't even want to say it, but it's just like a bad sign. 40 days without
a
challenge.
So funny, because people think that when nothing's going wrong, it's a sign they're doing something right.
Well, it's a sign. It's actually a sign for many different reasons. It's another session. It's a sign actually that you've been like forgotten. So it's kind of like there's a concept called, we have to end the show. There's a concept called what's the word?
Divine providence.
Yeah. But it's this specific supervision of the Creator on you, and when the Creator, when you have this particular supervision of the Creator on you, it's a very good sign. But it means that it's very strict with everything that you do. So you move in the wrong direction for a moment, there's like a zap. You move in the right direction, you know, there's a reward, and it's a very powerful thing to have that. So if you go 40 days without any feedback from people or from the universe, it means that there's no supervision on you. It means that you've actually been left alone to your own devices, which means that you could be going off the totally wrong path for a long time. And then the forces will have to bring you back in a painful way. So not to scare us, but to also appreciate the uncomfortable moments, because the uncomfortable moments are just that love tap from the Creator saying, hey, listen, you got to slightly adjust what you're doing. Before it goes really off the handle.
I think that that's a beautiful way to end this week's episode. But for those of you that are new to the show, I want to make sure that you know that we are on YouTube. We are also on all podcast platforms. And if you are enjoying the show, by the way, you should also have my permission, at least, to share this show with everyone you work with in the name of productivity, right? Nobody's going to think you're crazy for sending out a podcast called Saving Time and Energy. But the idea that by sharing the show, you're getting the entire planet to a higher level of vibration and awareness, and most importantly, action. We want to be coming, imagine if all of us are coming from that place of doing it for its sake rather than not for its sake, what a difference this world is going to experience. So continue to listen, watch, like, rate, review, and share. We're only as powerful as you guys create that space for us. So we want to thank you for doing that. And we will continue this conversation on prosperity next week on the Weekly Energy Boost.